You may wonder why I'm speaking on heaven when today is a day that we celebrate the resurrection. When I was a child, I misunderstood the resurrection. I thought that when we died, our bodies went into the ground and our spirits went to heaven. To me, that sounded wonderful. But that is not what resurrection means. Resurrection does not mean that our body will decay and our spirit goes to heaven. Is that what happened to Jesus when he rose again? No, when he rose again, his body got up from the ground, reunited with his spirit, and people could touch him, he could eat, and then as a complete person, he rose up into heaven. So why am I talking about heaven when we're celebrating the resurrection today? Well, not all things go as I plan them. This past weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the church had scheduled a camp. And the topic for the camp that was chosen was rest for the people of God. So as I thought about these sermons, what would be a good aspect of rest that would fit in with the resurrection day? Well, we know that heaven is our eternal rest. Hebrews says there remains a rest for the people of God. So I thought, resurrection, heaven, those topics are very linked. I'll speak on heaven on resurrection morning. How are resurrection and heaven linked? Let's think for a minute. What if we knew that we would rise again, which we do, but what if there were no heaven? What if we knew we as Christians would die, we would rise again and return to this earth under Satan's control, with evil everywhere, corruption and violence? If you died and rose again, would you want to come back here? So we gain great encouragement when we read both in Isaiah and in Revelation that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. That's what I want to talk about today. Yes, we will rise again. Yes, we will come back to this earth and walk around, but not forever. We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, something for us to look forward to now and to enjoy forever. Now, to help you follow my thinking, I've prepared this handout. It should be in your bulletin. And it may be organized a little bit differently from how other people organize things, but I think you'll catch my meaning as we progress through this outline. I have talked to people and they say, what's so great about heaven? If we go to heaven and all we do is sing songs for eternity, won't that be boring? And my first response, as polite as I try to be, is, no, you misunderstand what heaven is. Heaven is not just going to be us sitting on a cloud and singing some songs. What will we do in heaven? I've divided into 4 points. We're going to enjoy what Jesus made. We're going to enjoy what Jesus accomplished. We're going to enjoy what Jesus prepared. And we're going to enjoy what Jesus changed. What has Jesus made? He is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. In many ways, it will be similar to what we enjoy now, but in many ways, it will be different. Imagine an earth with no sea. We live on land, but we all know that the ocean dominates our earth. Think how different that will be to live on an earth that has no ocean. Think of an earth that has no sun. The sun is dominant in our lives. But that new earth will have no sun. It will have no moon. It will be very different from our current earth, and yet there will be similarities also. We get to look forward to this new heaven and this new earth. Our present universe will be gone. Peter talks about the elements melting with fervent heat. In Mark and Luke, Jesus talks about heaven and earth passing away, but his words will not pass away. In Isaiah, we read that the former things will not be remembered. Do you wake up in the middle of the night sometimes and it's dark and you're tired and you're not thinking clearly? And all of a sudden, some memory comes to you from the past, maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. And it grips your heart as you think of the sorrow or the pain or the embarrassment or some other negative feeling. And you lie there in bed and there's nothing you can do because whatever happened did happen. And you've not thought about it for a long time, but it comes back to your mind. Remember, when we go to heaven, we can forget all of those sorrows, all of that pain, all of those disappointments will be gone. We'll be able to have free travel throughout heaven and earth. There's a new heaven, there's a new earth, and Revelation talks about a new Jerusalem. I believe we'll be able to go to all three places. Now we can enjoy traveling all around this earth, but in the future we'll enjoy the new earth as well as the new heaven and the new Jerusalem. The Bible describes fruit trees, so we'll be able to eat that fruit. We won't have to eat, but we'll be allowed to enjoy the flavors of food. Do you ever feel frustrated? When you're very, very hungry, and you're very, very hungry, and you have that feeling of low blood sugar, you have that feeling of panic, I have to eat something. And then you sit down to a wonderful meal, and you want to just taste your food slowly, but you're so eager to satisfy your hunger, you eat it too fast. So you don't get to enjoy the flavors of the food. And then guess what happens? Then you're no longer hungry. And then you don't want to eat all that delicious food because you're full. In heaven, we won't have that problem. Without the stress of hunger, we can take our time and just enjoy the flavors of food. Revelation says there will be no time. I don't know about you, but time dominates my life. The restrictions of time. I must do it now. I have only this much time to get this done in. Oh no, I'm late. Or oh no, I'm ready, but he's not. Now I have to wait for him. In heaven, there will be no waiting. In heaven, there will be no deadline. In heaven, we will not be controlled by time. In heaven, there will be no marriage. We will no longer be divided into families. We will all be close together. All of these things are what Jesus will do in the new heaven and the new earth. But let's proceed on. In heaven, we will enjoy what Jesus has accomplished. Because of his sacrifice, because of his death, because of his resurrection, we will no longer face death. Isn't it interesting how people start very young preparing for death? They buy insurance. After a certain period of time, they buy burial plots. They may not talk about it with their friends, but they know, I will die someday. Think how different our planning would be if we knew that we would never die. If we knew we would work till a certain point and then we could retire forever. How different our thinking would be. No suffering. None. No physical suffering. No emotional suffering. No societal, institutional suffering. Our hearts can be at peace every day. No struggle. Because there will be no sin, there will be no effects of sin. Do you know that right now the whole creation is groaning because of our sin? Because of what mankind has done We have thorns and thistles. And we have violence in the animal world. That's because of our sin. And the day is coming with the new heaven and new earth. There will be no more curse. No more sin. No more effects of sin. If our current earth looks so beautiful with the effects of sin, we can only imagine what our earth might have looked like before mankind sinned. There will be no unkind people. What I find so distressing about human beings is that sometimes the people who end up being the least kind will tell you, "But I'm trying to do this for your good." They're trying to do what they think is best for us, and they end up being unkind. And then there are those people who mean to be unkind, and they succeed. And we get to heaven. We will be with millions of people, and none of them will be unkind. I'm looking forward to seeing some people in heaven that I have never met on this earth. I've heard my father talk about his grandparents and their faith in God, and I never got to meet them. I'm looking forward to being in heaven and being with them, meeting them for the first time. I did meet my grandparents, but because I grew up in Taiwan and they were living in the United States, I didn't get to spend much time with them before they passed away. What I did spend with them, I enjoyed. In heaven, I will have an unlimited opportunity to get to know them better. My parents, I enjoyed knowing them on earth. I knew them a long time on earth. But now I cannot see them. When I get to heaven, I will have unlimited opportunity. This past week, I was reading about the famous person Athanasius, a man with courage to stand against the world. Of course, I've never met him. In heaven, I will meet him and many other famous people. A time of limitless opportunity. Our current earth has all these problems with entropy and the second law of thermodynamics. In heaven, there will be none of those problems. Let's continue on to the bottom right. We will enjoy what Jesus has prepared. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." And all of us are curious, what kind of place will Jesus prepare for us? Do you know what? If we were to sit down today and pool our lack of knowledge, it wouldn't help us understand. The best thing that you can imagine will probably be incorrect, but it won't be as good as what it will be. What Jesus is preparing is better than you can imagine. I think we'll be surprised. It won't be anything like what we've thought it might be. I don't believe it will be a big house, because that's not what we will need in heaven. What we will have is some place that is suited for heaven and for us, that is better than what we can imagine. In heaven, we will learn truth. I love learning things. I go online and I listen to many lectures. But you know, when you listen online, you can't believe everything that you listen to, right? So you listen to this, then you listen to somebody who disagrees with that person, and then you listen to another person and you find out he disagrees with the first two, and you wonder, well, maybe the truth is in between. Or maybe one of them is actually right. And we always have to struggle trying to filter out what is true, what is not true. In heaven, we can set aside that filter. We can just learn. What God has presented in His Word is right, but sometimes our own mind struggles to understand, to actually apprehend it. In heaven, we will have no limitations and can learn truth and know it is so. I chose this topic because I was talking about the theme of rest. And this afternoon, I will speak on the theme of rest. I'll speak on what I was going to share on Friday afternoon. So please come. In heaven, we will have rest. Hebrews says there remains a rest for the people of God. Maybe after this week, you feel tired. Maybe you want to complain about certain stressors in your life. And that's very legitimate. On Sunday, we rest. But then we have another week where we have more fatigue, more stress, more responsibility. Do you know that in heaven, we'll be able to put all of that aside and rest? I talk to some people and they say, well, I think I want to quit. I just can't handle this. My message to those people and my message to you is, if you feel stressed with your work, remember, now is the time for work. Heaven is the time for rest. And today we look forward to that rest, that eternal rest, when we will not be stressed by what we're facing now. Now, that doesn't mean that in heaven we will do nothing. Some people have given me feedback and said, well, if in heaven we're doing nothing, won't that be boring? Rest does not mean doing nothing. How do people rest? People spend a lot of money and they go play tennis. They spend a lot of money and they go for a tour. They spend a lot of money and they go enjoy something else. And we call that restful. Sometimes they travel long distances. Sometimes they make their whole body tired, hiking through the hills. Why do they do all of that to rest? Why don't they lie at home in bed for 8 hours all day long? Because that would not be restful. The boredom would wear us out. What we want in rest is something that engages our mind, but is not taxing to our spirit and soul. In heaven, we will do something like 1 Corinthians says, we will judge angels. I don't think that will be hard. Already today, you and I know how to judge the angels. The ones that rebelled against God, do we know where they should go? Yes, God has prepared hell for them. The ones who have served God faithfully for all these millennia, where should they be? They should be with God. It won't be difficult for us to do this task, but it will be a responsible task. And I think that God will give us other tasks. They will not be stressful. They will not be taxing. But they will help us rest because they will engage us. Let's look at the bottom left side. We will enjoy what Jesus changed. Resurrection doesn't mean that my same body is going to come back. No. Once this one is used, I don't want a second use. I'm very willing to set this body aside. Our new body will not have the limitations of the present body. No illness, no hunger, no thirst, and of course, no death. People sometimes ask me a question, and they say, how old will we be when we come back? Will we come back as children? Will we come back, all of us, age 21? Will we all come back age 50? Will we all come back age 90? And some people have even ignorantly said, I'd like to die a bit younger, so I'll come back looking younger. No. Those are ignorant questions. When we come back, I believe that if I know you well now, that in heaven I will recognize you. You will be different. You'll have a new body. But you will still be you. Don't worry whether you'll still have the same wrinkles or whether you'll have the same scars. No, you will look good. you just might not look exactly the way you do now. That would make me happy, that I won't look the way I do now. Because we will be like Jesus. 1 John 3:2 says, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. My life and your life now is a path of imitating Jesus, a path of following Jesus, a path of being the disciple of Jesus. And we keep learning, imperfectly, but we keep learning and imitating. You cross this whole world of people. We have different backgrounds of people, different families, different customs, in fact, different denominations. What I find very funny is that you meet two very different Christians from very different backgrounds, and they have so much in common. And some people wonder, how can you Christians do things together when you don't have some organization telling you what to do? Well, the answer is because we're all imitating the same pattern. That person over there is imitating Jesus. I'm over here imitating Jesus. We're all moving the same direction. And that's why we have so much in common. Philippians says this vile body will be changed into a glorious body, like Jesus. I will love it that we can forget the past. It will be gone. And I like it that I will be face to face with Jesus and be fully known. There are people in my life that I know just a little bit. And it's great. I get along great with those people. I know them a little. They know me a little. And we get along just fine. But you know what people are most special to me? The people that know me well and still like me. I find it interesting when I go to America and visit my two brothers. I've known them a very long time. And I would love to be in a group of men and have you choose which of those men are my brothers. Because I think you wouldn't know. They are so different from me that when I pointed them out, you would say, what? You grew up in the same family? You ate the same food? You would laugh at how different we are from each other. So when I go to be with them, I find out that they're very different from me. But I understand them. I understand why they are the way they are. And they say funny things that I would never say. But I understand them because I've known them a very, very, very long time. When we are in heaven, we will have that feeling of someone knowing us totally, thoroughly, completely, and still loving us completely. I want to ask you to turn to some references with me this morning. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 18? Because I hope this topic stays with you all week. Chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Some people say, well, how great will heaven be? Okay, let me ask you, how hard is your life now? And you say, oh, it's very hard. What is it saying here in this verse? However hard your life is now, heaven will be that much greater. The suffering now, whatever that is, the glory in the future will be greater. And I hope you notice the word glory. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You are allowed to imagine what heaven is like. Go ahead. But may I tell you that I will laugh at you? Because as glorious as you imagine heaven to be, it is impossible for you to imagine how glorious it will be. All of us, when we get to heaven, will say, I never could have imagined this. We are going to glory. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Similar to the previous verse, for our light affliction. Paul, how can you say that my difficult life is merely light affliction? But he has a point. Keep reading. Which is but for a moment. See, life is short. Worketh for us a far more exceeding, and instead of a moment, what's the opposite? Eternal, and instead of light affliction, he says, weight of glory. Whatever you are experiencing now, as difficult as it is small in comparison to the weight of glory that is coming. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then he talks about us, then shall ye also appear with him, I love these next two words, in glory. Now I read things on the internet, I have studied other religions, and it's amazing to me how people come to me and say, wouldn't you like to accept our viewpoint? We can give you a new start. Wouldn't you like to accept what we teach? You can turn over a new leaf. You can learn from us, and we will give you a new day. Okay, what does the Bible offer us? Glory. Would you rather have a new start, or would you rather have glory? Would you rather turn over a new leaf, or would you rather have glory? Would you rather have a new day, or would you rather have glory? I choose glory. So as I live my life here on earth, my mind is already focused on heaven. I don't know about you. When someone asks you, where is your home? Do you have a simple answer? I don't. Everywhere I go, people say, where are you from? I've spent very little time in Britain, so it's very natural for someone to say to me, where are you from? I live in Taiwan, and one of the first questions almost everybody asks me is, where are you from? And it doesn't matter to them that I say, I was born here. They say, but where do you live in America? No, I live here. I go to Hong Kong. I go to Singapore. I always get in the line that says, foreigner. When I go to the U.S., where I am registered to vote in South Carolina, what do they say to me? You don't sound like you're from around here. Where are you from? No place claims me. And if you ask me, where is my home? It's rather hard for me to say that any one place on earth is my home. And so the most honest answer I can give you is, my home is heaven. Because when I arrive at the gate of heaven, do you know what line I will get in? The line that says, family. You belong. You're ours. But as you look at this, do you see something that I tried to emphasize? What did I put in the middle? What did I put in the middle? Don't miss my main point, okay? When we get to heaven, what we will spend our time doing is praising Jesus Christ. Turn again to the book of Revelation that we read this morning. Turn again, Revelation chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy," praising Jesus for what he has done. And then, verse 11, "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels." What does that mean? How many? "And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." And what are they saying? "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." When I was a teenager and read this, I thought, why those words? What does power mean? What does riches mean? What does wisdom mean? And I missed the point. The point is not to parse each of those words and figure out what it means. No, they're piling the praise onto Jesus. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Praising and praising and praising him. And some people have said to me, "Well, won't that be boring?" And I say, no. Because remember, Jesus is infinite. You and I are finite. I can get to know you. After a few years, believe me, I'll know you. I'll know you. I'll know all your strengths. And then what's left? All the weaknesses, right? Those take a little bit longer to come out. But you see, Jesus is infinite. So as we get to know him, there's never a weakness. There's never a problem. Now, as I get to know him, I get to know him more and more and more and more. And remember, he's infinite. There's always something more to learn. And it's always positive. Praise does not mean, let me say something to you in order to get something out of you. Praise means, I step back and say, well, this is true about you. That's amazing. Today, we know something about what Jesus has done, and we already praise him. In heaven, we will know more, and it will be a natural response to join these 10,000s of 10,000s praising him for eternity. But can I encourage you? If forever we are going to praise Jesus, why don't we start now? Today is Resurrection Sunday. Jesus rose again. That was not a private activity. He is called the first fruits. Since he rose again, those of us who are in him, we will rise again. And we Christians have made Easter not an annual event, but a weekly event. That is why we meet every Sunday, to celebrate the resurrection. So if you ask me, what am I doing? I am hurrying to heaven, my eternal home. If you ask me, what am I doing? I am celebrating the resurrection. I'm looking forward to rising again. If you ask me, what am I doing? I will say, I am praising Jesus Christ in preparation for praising him forever. Would you join me? Let's pray. Oh God, we look today at the calendar and we see a simple word, Easter. But it thrills our heart to know that a dead man got out of the grave by his own power. And it thrills us even more that because Jesus died and rose again, his resurrection extends to us. Oh God, we praise you, seated on the throne. We praise the Lamb beside you. And we begin now what we will do for eternity. And we thank you that we have this right to praise you. Because of Jesus' name. Amen.